Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. I am your host, as always, Eric Ellefson. And on this week's episode, we have some more NFL Week 6 recap. Week 7 of the college football season recap. And then we'll wrap up with MLB baseball playoffs as we are now in to the championship lead series. With, I believe, the World Series will be in about, I think it starts about, I think it's a week from Friday, so we'll get into that later on in the episode. But going on with, you know, like we've done in the past, NFL Week 6 recap, which kicked off last Thursday night with the 49ers beating the Seattle Seahawks 36-24 in Seattle. And then we had, and then concluding last night with Monday Night Football. Bills beating the Jets 23-20 in East Rutherford, Jersey. So, kind of going through that. So yeah, Thursday night, 49ers Seahawks. Still no McCaffrey for this 49ers as of now. I don't know when he'll start, you know, practicing, if at all. I mean, we just did week 6, so we're a third of the way through the schedule. Well, 18 weeks. I mean, they play, you know, a 17-game season, so, you know, teams are in, you know, as we go into week 7 now, you know, this is the third week of teams on their byes. So we'll have, you know, kind of that to go to, you know, take into consideration for both that. And, you know, if you play fantasy football, same thing, having to do that. So, I mean, made it kind of close. You know, we had, you know, 16-3 at halftime, 49ers. So, you know, not the most close game coming out of halftime. And then there's a 10-yard touchdown catch to George Kittle. You know, it's extended the lead. And then right after that, the Seahawks had a kickoff return for a touchdown. You know, did it back within two-score lead. A Kenneth Walker touchdown, made it a one-score game. And then another touchdown pass to George Kittle. And then, you know, with a two-point conversion failed. Tyler Lockett touchdown to pull within 5, and then that was pretty much it. As, you know, the fullback Kyle Juszczyk with a 6-yard touchdown run puts the team out of reach. I mean, pretty much the standout was like Brock Purdy with 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. Geno Smith had over 300 yards passing on 52 attempts, but had a touchdown and 2 interceptions. San Francisco, I mean, Jordan Mason, I should say, that's it. The main running back for San Francisco with McCaffrey out. I think he sustained an injury. So, you know, kind of, I don't think he's been put on IR. I think it's kind of more week-to-week basis. So, you know, they're on to, like, their third string? Or is he fourth string? He might be fourth string running back on their depth chart. McCaffrey and then someone else, I think, also was injured. So it's kind of been just, you know, up and down Nets person up for the 49ers in regards to, like, you know, leading rusher, you know, who's going to get the majority of the carries. I mean, they still have, like, you know, Deebo Samuel, who, you know, I think probably averages, like, you know, close to 5, maybe 6 carries a game type of thing. You know, he's not going to get a whole lot, but he will get some. And then, you know, so, I mean, it was pretty much a must-needed win for San Francisco after blowing, like, again, like a 10-point lead to the Cardinals last Saturday or Sunday. I think they were at home, too, so, like, you know, to try and get back on track is, like, this week 7 they host, you know, the Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch in Santa Clara. So that's kind of like, you know, the game of the week, pretty much. You know, and this is back-to-back years we've had a Super Bowl rematch. With last year, the Philadelphia Eagles avenging their Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs and winning. It was a pretty close game. I think it was a Monday night game, you know, like the Super Bowl. It was, like, I think a one-possession game. Like, it might have been a field goal or something like that. Or maybe a touchdown. Like, it was, you know, definitely within, like, 10, if not probably 7 points, that it wasn't a blowout. But, so, you know, and I think that also was in Philadelphia, too. Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes, as, like, the Chiefs are coming off a bye, you know, in their first game back. Well, they had played one game already with, like, you know, Rashid Rice not being, you know, on the roster. He had surgery. I think it was, like, yesterday or over the weekend. So, and then we'll get into, like, that, some news later involving trades that happened pretty much today, finalizing them today. So, going on for the rest of the games, I mean, again, with games I watched, we had the early game in London with the Bears, you know, taking care of the Jaguars pretty handily. You know, Caleb Williams threw 4 touchdowns and almost had a 5th, 226 passing yards, quarterback rating of 124.4, so pretty darn solid. DeAndre Swift added 91 yards rushing with a touchdown, Caleb Williams with 56 yards rushing, Cole Kmet and Keenan Allen with 2 touchdowns each. And yeah, you know, defense, you know, has, like, with the Bears the last, like, what was it, like, month and a half of last season, you know, stepped up, continues to play really well. Had an interception, 4 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 8 quarterback hits, stuff like that. So just really bringing him in. Like, you know, the Jaguars aren't a great team. You know, they are 1-5. So, like, you know, but, like, you know, the Bears and Taylor Williams, like, you know, he's gotten better week after week. You know, now they're going to their bye. And then they play, I think, the Commanders and then the Falcons or something next. So, I mean, you know, Cardinals and Commanders, Cardinals, Bears. So, I mean, you know, I know they're not playing the best of teams, but, you know, you gotta take care of business, you know, win the games, you know, that you're supposed to win against these bad teams, and, you know, each week just improve, keep getting better and better, and, like, you know, again, you know, it's not the best defenses you're playing, but, you know, that's all the Bears can really hope for, is just getting week after week of, like, you know, getting better and better. And, you know, because, like, the defense is going to be there. And, you know, they've kind of been doing more, like, running and some stuff like that. Plays to kind of, like, you know, set up play action and do stuff. Kind of ease Caleb more into it. So, overall, he's pretty much looking like the best I mean, worthy of that number one overall pick. You know, had a couple of plays that, you know, remind you a little bit of his time at USC, which kind of scrambling and then, you know, running for some yards or scrambling out of pocket, you know, and completing a pass. Which, like he did, you know, during his Heisman winning season 2 years ago. You know, he did a lot more scrambling and stuff like that last year. Because, like, USC's, like, offensive line was not great. Didn't really have the best, like, receiving, and, like, their defense was, like, pretty bad. So, you know, made do with what you had there. But, so that was that. And then the noon o'clock game, Packers taking care of business against the Cardinals. Jordan Love, I think, also had 4 touchdowns. Right? Yeah, 4 touchdowns. Kind of all over the place, rushing. I mean, Josh Jacobs was the leading rusher with 62 yards. Emmanuel Wilson with 54. Then a bunch of other people with, like, some running backs, Love, receivers, all over the place. So Dobbs had 2 touchdowns in his return. And then Watson and Jaden Reed with the others. And some fumble recoveries. But yeah, you know, again, you go in, you take care of business. I mean, the Cardinals aren't, like, again, good. It sucks that, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. Suffered a concussion in the game and was out. Ruled out pretty quickly in that first quarter, so, you know, didn't get to see that, which kind of sucks. But yeah, kind of not a whole lot really that exciting, as, you know, pretty much took care of business. I mean, I benefit from, like, Marvin Harrison going out because I have Trey McBride as my fantasy tight end, so he had, like, a lot of catches. Like, all his catches were, like, after Harrison was ruled out. So, and then I finally won another game, so that was nice. Because I needed Bryce Hall to get, like 10 or so points, something like that. You know, I didn't need a whole lot, but he got, like, enough. So I finally got back to the win column, and I'm 2-4, baby. So, and then we have Chargers beating the Broncos 23-16. Texans taking care of the Drake May and the Patriots in his first start in the NFL, 41-21. Ravens beat the Commanders in one of the anticipated games of the week, 30-23. The Eagles sweep by the Browns 20-16. Buccaneers beat the Saints 51-27. Colts 20-17 over the Titans. Whoa. Steelers beat the Raiders 32-13. The Lions destroyed the Cowboys 47-9. Falcons beat the Panthers 38-20. And then on Sunday Night Football, the Bengals beat the Giants 17-7. So the other two games that afternoon I watched were it was Steelers, Raiders, which, I mean, like, yeah, 32-13, not a whole lot. You know, I should have put, like, Justin Fields as my starting quarterback for fantasy, because he had, like, 59 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, so that definitely helped. Only 145 yards passing, but no interceptions, so, you know, limiting turnovers. And then, but because I had, like, started Dak Prescott, who, like, had, like, oh, let's see, he had, like, 2 interceptions, you know, yeah. Costly, like, one I know was in the red zone, I think, yeah, the end zone as well. Well, same thing, type of thing. So that was a downer, but, I mean, luckily, I had Bryce Hall, who kind of bailed me out. And then the person I was playing had Ja'Marr Chase, who didn't go completely off. against the Giants, so. But, you know, it's all in good fun. And, like, yeah, there wasn't. I mean, Jared Goff, 3 touchdowns for 315 yards. David Montgomery with 2 touchdowns rushing. I mean, the more like. So the Lions improved to 4-1. Kind of the main thing sitting on is that Aiden Hutchinson was out of the game, leg injury, and then needed surgery. So he is out for the year and had to have like emergency surgery in Dallas. So that's definitely something to look into in the weeks to come. I mean, we're about 3.5 weeks, I think, from maybe 4 weeks. No, 1, 2. No, we're 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. So we'll see if the Lions look to add an edge rusher, pass rusher. I don't really know who's on the market. I mean, Hassan Reddick, you know, was traded from the Eagles to the Jets, but hasn't played for the Jets this year. Sat out in like OTAs and preseason and stuff like that. So I don't know what the Jets would look in return for that. So that's something to maybe consider, because like other than like Hutchinson, they haven't been getting a whole lot of pass rush help. So, and then Bengals Giants, I mean, on Sunday night, not really a whole lot going on. I mean, Joe Burrow had a 47-yard touchdown run, so that was kind of like the big play of the game. But like, that was pretty much it. Like, no passing touchdowns, nothing that, like, yeah, you know, both teams are not the best. I mean, the Bengals won to improve to 2-4. Same record now as the Giants, so, like, you know, not the best teams. And then last night, the Bills hold on to beat the Jets. Like I said, 23-20. Let's see, because it was like, so we had Aaron Rodgers had like his 4th career Hail Mary touchdown pass before halftime, and then to bring within 3, and then we had just 6 points combined in the second half, and Buffalo holds on to win. Be 4-2. The Jets dropped to 2-4 in their first game after firing their head coach, Robert Saleh. So, and then the news that came out today for both those teams, actually, the Jets traded for receiver Davante Adams from the Raiders, and then the Bills are trading for Amari Cooper from the Browns. So, I mean, that's for, like, you know, my Chiefs and stuff like that with, you know, I mean, it was kind of long shot that they would get, like, Adams, because I don't think, like, you know, the Raiders would want to trade him to, like, a division rival, but, like, I think they got, like, a 3rd-round pick from the Jets that I think has the option to go to a 2nd-round pick. I'll have to look. I can probably find the details. Let's see. Las Vegas Raiders receive a 2025 conditional 3rd-round pick in the trade. That pick could improve to a 2nd-round selection if Adams is 1st or 2nd team All-Pro this season or is on the Jets after roster for the AFC Championship game or Super Bowl. Who? So that is some, you know, terms, you know, because he's missed, like, I think the past 3 games at least for, with a hamstring injury, I think it is. But I don't, maybe the, are the Jets on a bye? If they're on a bye this week, you know, that would. Okay, they're not on a bye. They play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. Okay. I don't know if he played then. The likely option is probably week 8 against the Patriots. Because then there's that. Then week 9 they start on Thursday Night Football in a battle against the Texans at home. So that might be, I mean, we'll kind of see how that goes out. You know, it's kind of like now, I mean, the Jets are, they were pretty much fully all in to begin with, but now, like, they're pretty much all in, doubling down on being all in. So we'll see how that goes. You know, I do have Davante Adams on fantasy, so now that'll be a little interesting to see how that plays out, because I already have, like, Deebo Samuel at receiver, but I don't really have another, like, number one, another receiver to go with him on my team. But, like, if Adams is able to come back and kind of be, like, you know, above average, then, you know, that would help, because I've been kind of playing just whoever. You know, I can get from, like, you know, the waiver wire and stuff like that, because, like, I have Jalen Waddle as well, but, like, without Tua, like, I can't really start him. So yeah. And then with the Bills, they are trading for Amari Cooper from the Browns, and the Bills received Cooper in a 2025 sixth round pick, for a 2025 third round pick and a seventh round selection in 2026, sending that to the Browns. It doesn't look like any other, like, thing, so it's not like with Adams where it can be a move to a second round pick with, you know, terms and stuff like that. So that's something. I'm sure they probably maybe saw that news. I mean, they're probably looking for a receiver to begin with, because they traded Diggs, and then they traded with the Chiefs in the draft to allow the Chiefs to move up, I think it was 4 spots in draft, Xavier Worthy, who set the fastest 40-yard dash time at the combine, and then they moved back into round 2 and drafted a receiver, Keon Coleman, from Florida State. So this kind of gives, like, you know, another, this is who I thought, like, the Chiefs might, you know, trade for, because I think he's pretty cost effective, and so we'll see. And I've heard they've attached to, like, DeAndre Hopkins from Tennessee would be another option, just kind of someone. So I'm sure they'll make a move. It just kind of depends. But yeah, so we kind of had, and then the Bills released wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling on Tuesday to open a roster spot for Cooper. Okay, I mean, he was on the Chiefs the past 2 years? Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So, like, because he had the catch that sealed the AFC Championship game in Buffalo, or against Buffalo. No, against the Ravens. That's it. So, we'll kind of see how it goes. I know they'll make a trade, they're just kind of seeing how it goes. Like, they don't, like, we've drafted so well, and, like, you know, kept, like, draft capital and stuff like that, because, like, we traded Ladarius Sneed to Tennessee, and we got, like, I think another third round pick, and then maybe another sixth round pick or something like that this year or next year from it, because, like, we couldn't keep him, unfortunately, because, like, you know, we had some people that were gonna have to pay, extensions in the next coming year. So, like, you know, to free up some cap space. And he's also, you know, kind of out there in age. So it was a smart deal. It sets Pelotino. We still have our top corner and Trent McDuffie, and we have some other players that stepped up, you know, in the past. So, you know, defensively, we'll probably be fine. We might, I don't know, we'll see what we do. So, moving on to college football, we had, let's see, Alabama held on to avoid being upsetted for the second week in a row, beating South Carolina 27-25. Carolina failed on the two-point conversion that would have tied the game. So there's that. I mean, Wisconsin, we're not ranked yet, but that's okay. Let's see, I can find it maybe somewhere. No. Northwestern, yeah, no. 42-7, okay, that's what I thought. Like, I knew we blew them out. But yeah, you know, I did not play a good team because it was Rutgers. And then we play Northwestern at Northwestern in Evanston this week before. I think we have a bye, and then we play Penn State. No, we play Penn State next Saturday at home on NBC/Peacock, their Saturday night Big Ten, you know, game. So, and then we have a bye. So that's probably our, I mean, we have to play two top five teams for and two of our next four games. We are at home in Madison. So, like, that, you know, see how it goes. But, you know, it seems like this kind of air raid West Coast offense has kind of started to click a little bit with Luke Fickell in our second year, so. Yeah. I'm excited, you know, it's fun. We'll see. I know we're going to win, like, two more games and make a bowl, become bowl eligible. So, you know. But, some of the key games that we thought were going to be fun, we had the Red River rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma. And Texas just destroyed Oklahoma 34-3. Quinn Ewers was back after missing the last 2 weeks. Then he had an abdominal strain, so Arch Manning stepped in, you know, took care of business. But yeah, you know, I was hoping this would be a little bit more of a game. That's always what happens. You think it's gonna be a fun game. It's like ranked and like they're high ranked, and then it just beats sometimes is a blowout. So yeah, and then Penn State needed overtime to survive against USC, fourth ranked Penn State, and then number 11 Notre Dame took care of Stanford 49-7, 22 ranked Pitt survives against Cal 17-15, 23 ranked Illinois needed overtime to beat Purdue. And then the kind of big night games, we top five matchup between Oregon, number 3 ranked Oregon against number 2 Ohio State at the time. Oregon is now number 2 ranked, and then I don't know Ohio State. They're probably still ranked. I don't know if they'd be in the top 10. They for sure still be in like the top 15. But that was really good, 32-31. And then number 13 ranked LSU beat 9th ranked Ole Miss 29-26 in overtime. So, I did pretty good games. And then week 8, I don't know if we have any, like, we have number 11 Tennessee against number 7 Alabama at 2:30 on ABC. We have number 22 ranked Illinois hosting 24 ranked Michigan, also at 2:30 on CBS. Navy is ranked number 25 facing Charlotte. We have another top five matchup with Texas playing number five Georgia at home. That is at 6:30 on ABC/ESPN+. And that's kind of the big, that's like the main night game, kind of the big matchup of the week. So it's top 20 or top five even. And then we have another, like, you know, top 15, almost two top 10 teams between Alabama and Tennessee. And then I think Wisconsin plays in the morning at 11. We're playing at 11 a.m. So, you know, third week in a row, which, you know, it's fine. It kind of makes up nicely because then I can just kind of pay attention to that mostly and watch other, you know, those more top, the two ranked games in the afternoon and then the night one later. So, you know, kind of works. Let's check. I'm gonna check like the ranking or kind of standings. Yeah. For Big Ten, you know, more like the Big 18, as we have. Wisconsin. Oh, geez, we're like. Let's see, 2-1 in conference play. We're tied with Illinois, Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, and Michigan. And then we're above Minnesota and Washington are both 2-2 in conference play. And then 16th ranked Indiana, 2 ranked Oregon, 3 state Penn State are all tied for first, 3-0. Because I'm guessing we're having like the top two ranked you know, play for the conference championship in early December. As we don't have like divisions like East versus East and West, or it was like Legends and something else when they first started. So there's that. ACC's not even the standings. Number 10 Clemson at 4-0 in conference play, and then we have number 6 Miami, University of Miami, Florida. Number 20th ranked Pittsburgh. Number 21 ranked SMU. Both 2-0 in conference play. But they've each played 6 games, so they haven't played a lot of conference games yet. So that'll be interesting as the ACC. I mean, it's more of like a basketball conference, but like they kind of came up. I mean, football the last like maybe like 10 years, but that's more like Clemson. And then you had like Louisville when like Lamar Jackson was there in Miami. So like we've had stuff like that. Where's the Big 12, the other like main one? BYU, Iowa State, and Texas Tech, right? Yes, they're all 3-0 in conference play. And then we have Kansas State, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Colorado, and West Virginia, 2-1. It's just so weird to have these teams like Utah and Utah and Arizona and Colorado and Arizona State and BYU in the Big 12. I mean, that makes a little bit more sense. Because you have Big Ten is a lot of like the Midwestern, like Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Illinois, and like Penn State, Michigan, all that stuff. It's more like Midwest. So I mean, it makes a little sense. And then Pac-12 or the Big 12 is kind of the same, but a little bit like more mountain, because it had like Kansas and Texas, Oklahoma. What else did they have? I'm trying to think. But like, it was kind of more of like, you know, that Mountain West time zone type of thing. And SEC, yeah, it's like Texas A&M at 3-0. They're 14th ranked. Number 1, Texas is 2-0 in conference play. LSU is 2-0 in conference play. Georgia, 3-1. So it looks like some have played more conference games than others. So again, kind of with ACC, like, you know, we're mid-October now. You know, we're going to, you know, it's, conference games will start to pretty much pick up. Like, I'd be surprised if anyone plays like a non-conference game that isn't like kind of like a long-term rivalry that's been going on for like, you know, 90, 100 years or so like that. So, I think preview, and that's what we'll go real quick into week seven of the NFL. Starts Thursday night, Broncos at the Saints on Prime Video. We have, like I said, Super Bowl match, or rematch with the Chiefs and Niners in Santa Clara. Texans at the Packers at noon on CBS. The London game, if you want to get up at, you know, 8:30 local time to watch the 1-5 Patriots and Giants play. You know, whoever loses, that's kind of going to help pretty much put them more in a spot to have like the number one overall pick in the next year's draft. We have Titans at the Bills. I don't know if like Amari Cooper would play. I'd be kind of surprised if him and like Adams play this week. If Adams isn't even like medically cleared to play, we'll see. Eagles, Giants, not really. Lions, Vikings, yeah. Lions 4-1. Coming off, you know, really dominant win against the Cowboys. Vikings 5-0. I think they had a bye this past week, so I'm hoping to show, I mean, Packers and then Lions, Vikings. Seahawks, Falcons, Bengals, Browns, not really intriguing. Dolphins at the Colts, Panthers at the Commanders, Raiders at the Rams, and then Jets at the Steelers for Sunday Night Football. Again, who knows if Adams will play. And then another doubleheader on Monday Night Football with the Ravens at Buccaneers, and then Chargers at the Cardinals. So, some interesting ones, and some where it's like, not that interesting. But I mean, there's probably some of those names that are supposed to be, that might not, like on the surface, might not be too interesting, but, you know, could be a really interesting game. Like, I don't know, that London series game, Patriots, Jaguars, I mean, could be kind of interesting. You know, it's two teams kind of in a messy situation. Like, you know, I mean, at least with the Patriots, they're kind of like on that rebuild, because, like, you know, this year they drafted Drake May 3rd overall, so trying to, like, you know, build that team. And the Jaguars, like, you know, they've been like playoff contenders in years past, and, you know, just kind of like faltered. So, you know, see how that goes. And now, you know, moving on to baseball playoffs. So, like I said, we're in the championship lead series now with the NLCS between the Dodgers and the Mets. That is tied one game apiece, with the series heading to New York tomorrow for game 3. And then tonight at 6:38 Central Time on TBS, Cleveland Guardians at the New York Yankees, with Yankees up 1-0. Tanner Bibe, I definitely pronounced that wrong, and Gerrit Cole as the starting matchup pitching-wise. So in division series, we had Cleveland and the Dodgers both needing game 5s to win their series. Guardians won game 5, 7-3 over Detroit, and then the Dodgers won 2-0 over the Padres. And then game 1 NLCS Sunday night, Dodgers from the get-go Storing, you know, six runs over the first four innings to cruise to a 9-0 win. Jack Flaherty pitched seven shutout innings, I believe it was. Yep, seven shutout innings, two hits allowed, and then six strikeouts and one or two walks allowed. And then last night, the Mets, kind of opposite, the Mets jumped on the Dodgers right away. Francisco Lindor had a leadoff home run, and then Mark Vientos had a grand slam in the second, five-run second inning, and then they cruised from there to a 7-3 lead win to tie up the series, heading back to New York tomorrow night. And then the Cleveland lost to the Yankees 5-2 last night. Let's see. We had home runs from Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton. And then Carlos Rodon pitched six innings of one-run ball. Three hits allowed, one run, which was earned. Nine strikeouts and no walks. And then the bullpen, you know, took care of that from there to a 5-2 win. Like I said, game two is tonight in New York, and then game four will go to Cleveland Thursday afternoon. And then, like I think I said, yeah, game one of the World Series will start Friday, October 25th on Fox. We'll see who hosts or who holds home field advantage for that. If it's the Dodgers are in it, they'll host it because they had the best record in all of baseball. But if the Mets are the National League team, then if the Mets are the National League champions, then regardless of who wins between Cleveland and the Yankees, they'll have home field advantage. I don't know if Cleveland wants home field advantage, because the last time they had home field advantage in the World Series, it did not work out for them. Haha, they blew a 3-1 lead. Go Cubbies. So, we'll see. Yeah, 6:30 tonight, or 6:38. You know, it'll probably be like 6:40. We'll see how it goes. Because, you know, playoffs, they always do, like, you know, kind of a pregame kind of thing, you know, pass player throws out the first pitch, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's more of a game one thing, but they'll still do it kind of throughout the, you know, playoffs, you know, regardless of what game it is. Because, like, game one is usually, like, the big, like, woo, and then so it's, like, opening game of the series, and then they go from there. So, yeah. But, you know, it's always fun to watch. And, you know, I mean, like, Sunday night I was able to watch, like, game one of the NLCS on one half of my TV stream, and then Sunday Night Football on the other half. So that was pretty cool. As always, I love doing that. It's even more fun to watch, like, four games at a time. That doesn't really happen. I mean, now it's mostly, like, college football. Like, yeah, they'll have, like, four games. Especially with, like, the 11 o'clock start times. And then, like, yeah, 2:30. Not so much of the night games, really. If you have NFL Sunday ticket, then, yeah, you can get four games at a time. And then March Madness will also have that. So that's kind of how it goes. But, yeah, another week of sports down. Another exciting week to come. And then next week we'll have our 2024-25 NBA season preview, as that kicks off next Tuesday with a doubleheader. And then the rest, a lot of the other teams will start next Wednesday night. So we'll kind of do that, along with more, like, you know, football and baseball. I don't think we possibly could have a World Series matchup already happening. Game 7 of the NLCS, if necessary, would be next Monday night. And then game seven of the ALCS, if necessary, would be Nets Tuesday night. So we'll at least have the NL champion decided, possibly the ALCS as well. But, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes from there and what happens these next couple games. So, yeah, that wraps up this week's episode. Thanks for listening, as always, and I will see you next time. Peace.